Romans chapter 5 for our text this morning, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
Romans chapter 5, verse 1 reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you so much for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your church, Lord, and knowing that you are in our very midst. And so, Lord, we pray and thank you for the privilege of asking you for the filling and guidance of your Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us that we might hear from you and be drawn closer to you and strengthened by the faith that you've given to us to honor and glorify you. May you open up our understanding to understand who you are and who you want to be in our lives. And then, Lord, if there's anyone that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them as only you can, that they might see their need to repent, change their mind about what they think about you, and understand their sin that separates us from you, and knowing that you have paid the price, Lord, by the blood of your Son and the life that he's given to us. And that by putting our faith and trust in him, we have eternal life. We'll praise you for that, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is simply, "We have access by faith into this grace." And that's important. So think about the title just for a moment. We have access by faith into this grace. So what is access? What is faith? And what is grace? That's an important question to ask. And God wants us to understand what access is, what faith is, and what grace is. And they're basically three components. And I don't know if you're familiar, back in the day, they had these console stereo systems, and then they came out with components where you would not buy the whole thing, speakers and receiver and record player, what have you, but you bought each individual component separately, and that was supposed to make it more powerful, better system. And so likewise, listen, what they are, a component really is a part or an element of a larger whole. And God has given to us these components, access, faith, and grace, to experience the larger whole, and that is the salvation of God in our lives. Not just eternal life, and that's where it all begins, but the salvation, the redeeming power, the glorification of God Almighty in our own personal lives. And so these are three separate components that we want to just focus in on and understand that, listen, these three components bring us into not our works, but into the works of God in our lives. And so if God doesn't give us access, we will never have faith and grace. It is God that brings us into this place. And I think this morning, the Lord, through his word, will make this quite clear. And so we want to, first of all, take a look at the component of access. That's the first thought. And then the second component and third component is faith and grace. And the last thought we'll take a consideration of is all the components as one, working together as one. This is the way that the Lord had planned it. So I want to back you up here to Romans chapter 4 for a moment. And I want you to look at this component of access in Romans chapter 4, verse 1. And Paul begins to share this to the believers. And by the way, all these people here at Rome that Paul is writing to are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is, Paul, used of the Holy Spirit, wanting us to understand what God has given to us concerning our relationship with the Lord and how that took place. So verse 1 says this, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" What did he find in his fleshly life? What did he find? "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." So he says if he was justified by what he did, then Abraham has bragging rights. But he has no bragging rights. You and I have no bragging rights. The only one that is to be honored and glorified is God himself for what he has given to us and what he has done for us in opening up our understanding and our seeing our need of trusting him for our own personal Savior. So notice what he says here, verse 3. "For what saith the Scripture?" Boy, may we not ever forget that. What saith the Scripture? What does that mean? God is giving credence to the Apostle Paul, as Jesus did. "Ye have heard what it's been said in the Scriptures," right? He talked about Daniel. He talked about Job. And he talks about the Word of God because that is what brings faith. There is a movement today. There are people that are teaching that says the Bible doesn't say anything. They try to discredit the Scriptures, the Word of God. No, listen, that's where faith comes from, and that's where the relationship of God can begin. If you don't believe in the Scriptures and the Word of God, then you're lacking the understanding. You're lacking what is needed to bring us into a relationship with the Lord. So the Scriptures are very important. So what saith the Scripture? That Abraham hath found. Notice it says, Abraham believed, verse 3, God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That means that God put that into his account. So Abraham didn't have anything, and then God put something into his account. And then he's going to tell us how that took place. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward, that's something that's been given, and by the way, not earned, not reckoned of grace, but of a debt. If God does not give us his grace, then all that we can expect is a fair trial. That's it. And God will give you a fair trial. We won't win without the blood of Christ. We don't win. There are people that are, what's the matter with this religion? What's the matter with that religion? I mean, look at all these religions. What's wrong with them? No blood. There's no blood. And then without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so we must have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the blood of bulls, not the blood of animals, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was what that was all pointing to, and the Lord has fulfilled that. So he says, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of a debt. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but what? Believeth. That doesn't mean, okay, I'm just going to sit down and I'm not going to do anything and I'm just going to get this eternal life. That's not what the Lord is saying either. Listen, but to him that worketh not, but believeth. When we believe somebody, we say we trust them. When we say we can trust somebody, that means we can also say we have faith in them. And that's what believing is all about. And God wants us to understand that. These people say, well, I believe. You see this all the time. People wear shirts. And if you own one, don't feel bad. I'm not saying that this is wrong to a certain degree. I will clarify that here in just a moment. Just believe. Pray tell, just believe what? That's important. Just believe what? Just believe? No. Believe on the Son of God. Amen? That's it. There's nothing else that we can hold to or adhere to that will gain us access to God Almighty. And so here we find, it says this in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly's us. The justifier of the ungodly, the only one that can justify the ungodly is the judge of all the earth. The creator who spoke everything, not this God and that God. No, there's only one that can justify us. And that's God Almighty, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one, and they are all at work to justify you and me before himself. All right? So he says this, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his trust, his belief and trust in God is counted for righteousness. That's what he's talking about right there. And so verse 6, he says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now listen, so follow this. What Paul is saying is that Abraham stepped into something, received something that they didn't do, but that did something for them. See, this is the important part. We're not just getting something that doesn't do anything. We are getting something, first of all, that declares us and makes us righteous before God Almighty, but then also works in our lives, showing and revealing and affirming the change that God made in our lives. How would you like somebody come up to you, to your house and say, listen, I'm going to paint your house. And they're going to say, I'm going to paint it for half the price that everybody else does it for, right? Great, wonderful. Let's paint the house. And so the guy doesn't do anything, and he asks for the money. Are you going to pay them? Well, why not? I mean, they said they were going to paint your house. They just didn't do it. Just pay them. Wait a minute. Wouldn't you say there's a problem? Wouldn't you say I think you're trying to rip me off. Wouldn't you say that? Listen, God doesn't rip anybody off. God gives promises that we might experience, and if they're not working, the problem, I tell you, for sure, is not with God. The problem is with us and our understanding how to receive these things. Now listen, God has given to us access. If you're here, you're saved, you're born again, you have access. You just may not know and understand how to use that access. Let me explain you what access is not. Ready? God, empower my life. That is not what God wants. No. God has given to you the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God may lead you into His power. His power, His strength, not ours. God is trying to, listen, do you know what all the apostles had a problem with? Themselves. Remember, who's the greatest, Lord? Oh, guys. Listen, we were studying today about how the Lord was in Gethsemane and how all the disciples forsook the Lord. All of them forsook the Lord. They all fled. Peter, because he made the big thing about it, but they all ran. And they all dishonored the Lord. Do you know why God allowed them to fail? So that they would stop looking in one direction that they were looking to and look to Him alone. See? Do you want to know why you and I fail the Lord? There's no doubt. Every believer fails God because they take their eyes off of the Lord and they start looking to themselves. Let's use Abraham and Sarah. They were given a promise that they were going to have a son. And so, did they wait on the Lord for that? Did they put their faith in that? Or did they say, oh, wait, bing, the light bulb, I got an idea. Bad idea. Because Ishmael and the descendants of Ishmael are still causing Israel all of their problems. And you know what? Listen, anytime we adhere to the flesh, anytime we look to ourselves and ask God to strengthen that which He's never promised to make strong, He said, I'll be your rock. He said, I'll be your hiding place. You know what? He said many things. He would be our light. He would be our strength. Didn't He say all these things? Do you know why He said He would do all these things? Because we can't. And He will never enable that in our lives. Listen, I want to tell you how hard this is. It's easy and yet it's hard. It's easy in the sense of just look to the Lord. Look and live. Look where? Not in the mirror. Look to the Lord and what He has said He would do. But here's what we do. Listen, I've done it. God reveals that to me. And then in prayer, I'm, Lord, make me strong to honor You. Make me strong. And the Lord has to get my attention and say, no. I am your strength. I am your rock. I will be your victory. I will be your life. Isn't that what God says? I'll be your life. Oh, no. Listen, that is such a hard truth to grab onto that we even need the Lord. I had to say, Lord, I was hearing myself saying this. Lord, forgive me. I am trying to do it again. I am trying to do it again. Lord, I am starting to look to myself because I love You. That's what Peter did. That's what all the disciples did. That's what Abraham and Sarah did. We're going to make this happen, praise God. And there's Hagar. And God said, oh, no. And listen to the problem that they had. When God said, it's going to be through you, Abraham laughed. And then when Sarah got the news, what did she do? Isn't that something? Well, listen, Abraham is our father in the faith. Amen? If he laughed, what do you think we're doing? When God says, I will do it in you. Oh, no, Lord, let me help you out, Lord. Let me roll up my sleeves and let me get busy doing something for God. And let me just tell you, listen, Lord, if we just did that, don't. Have you ever come up with an idea? Oh, listen, if the church would do this, if it would do that, oh, my goodness, what? What? No, it doesn't work that way. You know what God said? Right here is how God builds His church. By the foolishness of preaching. We get busy thinking, we got the idea, listen, oh, and I'm not against programs, I'm really not, but you know what God is concerned about more than anything else? Who was God concerned about in Peter's life? Who? Peter. Who was God concerned about in John's life, the Apostle John? John. And do you remember when the Lord gave them breakfast after the resurrection? And Peter got concerned about who? John. And the Lord said, and the Lord said what to him? Peter, I'm so glad that you pointed out. John, did you hear what Peter's saying? Peter's concerned about you. And so we're going to park right here and say, listen, when we start pointing out like Peter does other people and saying things about other people, we've got our eyes on the wrong thing. Because listen, you and me are not going to get their attention. Only God can. And so what did God say to Peter? Worry about yourself, Peter. You think that'd be good advice today? Listen, you and me ought to not be the bearer of any negative news about any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if the other person tells you it's so, and even if you think it's so, we need to look at ourselves. Because we will always be wrong when we are looking at other people and not the Lord. If we are looking at other people, are our eyes on the Lord or on other people? Oh, listen, that's a big problem. And it's so easy. Listen, people, when they point out the faults of others, then all of a sudden, and they start saying, well, if they were a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to be doing this, that, and the other. You know what we've become? A judge. And you know who he's become our God? Not the Lord. Those things have become our God. The standards. Oh, listen, our convictions. That's not our God. Do you know that the Lord says, if you will keep me in the forefront of your sight, you will be looking at the right objective to live a life for the glory of God, that God might live his life in and through us. If our eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, is this not true? Nobody but Jesus himself can help you see the truth. Now, God might use other people, and there's nothing wrong with counseling with people that really love the Lord and know the Lord, but I will tell you this, they can't help you see the light unless God opens up your eyes. They can't. So watch what happens here. So he says, verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That man's blessed. And I pray and trust that everybody here fits that position. But that, again, is between you and the Lord. I don't know that. As far as I understand, everybody in this room has made a profession of faith that God has given them access into his grace. And that's a wonderful testimony to have. Then notice this, what he says here in verse 9. Cometh this blessedness, this access by faith into God's grace, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? Verse 9. For we say that faith was reckoned or accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How did this happen? How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision, verse 10, or in uncircumcision, which was the covenant token of what had taken place? He says, not in circumcision. There was no works that were done. Do you think God did that on purpose? So Abraham couldn't say, boy, what I went through gained me access. Oh, no. God gave him access before Abraham ever did anything. And so he says, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So that's for everybody today, is it not? Abraham was the first one, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. God made sure that there was nothing Abraham did that gave him access to God. into that grace. All that was given to him by the Lord. You and I have been given all these things as well. What did Abraham have to do to be the recipient of all of the promises of God? The same thing you and I have to do. Believe that God has granted it. That's all we have to do is believe that God has granted it. It is simple as that. So here we find this component and this understanding of access. And now just let's consider these last two components here, faith and grace, and how that works. Look at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? And what's the other word for faith? Oh, that's so important. Because that, in other words, if I have trust in God, who's doing the work? All I'm doing is trusting the Lord. If you're hanging on a cliff and somebody throws you a rope, your faith is in that person holding the other side of that rope, isn't it? As soon as they start pulling you up and you start dangling over a 1,000-foot precipice, amen. Your life is in their hands, and there's no greater life, no greater person than God Almighty to put your life into. This is how it works. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. Did you see that? No trust. Because I'm looking to what I'm going to do. Do you know that if we're not careful, you know, I go to church and I pray and I read my Bible and I do this and I do that. That's not what does anything for us. You know who does everything for us? Everything. You know who does everything? Giving us faith. You know who gives us grace? You know who gives us life? His life? Who does that? Jesus, God. He's the one that gives it. In fact, let's look at verse 14 again. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. By the way, we should not mark ourselves, listen, on how we are walking with God by what we are doing or by what we are not doing. And by the way, that doesn't mean not to do anything, but that means that listen, if I am failing and if things aren't taking place that God said would take place in my life, then I need to bring them before the Lord, not try to do them better. Because if I try to do them better and I think I'm succeeding, God gets no glory out of that. But if I bring them before the Lord and I say, Lord, you need to keep me in your hands. You need to keep me in your life. I can't do it. The life of Christ is peace and joy. The life of Christ, do you believe this? Changes us. Amen. Pray tell, if not, why has the Holy Spirit been given? And here's the problem. We're just not using it. It's like you got you're a farmer and you're out there with one of those wheel plows, those hand plows, and you got a brand new tractor sitting inside the barn, and you've got 100 acres to plow. And we're out there doing this. We think we're getting somewhere, but the work will never get done that way. And by the way, not to the glory of the one who bought the tractor, amen? God gave us his life. So he says, verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Did you hear that? The law works wrath. And so he says, verse 16, therefore it is of faith, trust, that it might be by grace. We have to trust the Lord. So if you are failing the Lord in your life, if you have a besetting sin that is overthrowing your life, what should you do? Should you try harder? Or should you say, Lord, you have promised to deliver me. You've delivered me from my eternal condemnation, but you've promised to deliver me every day. And you promise that you will, at the ultimate end of my life, you will have delivered me again. There's three deliveries. He delivers us from the condemnation of sin. He delivers us in our daily life. And one day he fulfills that salvation by delivering us from this robe of flesh. Praise the Lord. So he says again, listen, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure. to all the seed. Are you part of the seed of God? Praise the Lord. And so if we are failing, bring it to Jesus. Don't ask him to make you stronger and try it again. How well is that working for you if that's what you're doing? I'll tell you how well it worked for me. It never did. It never did. For probably 25 or so more years, that's what I thought I needed to do. And then God, it was there all the time. There was. I can't tell you how many times I read it. And I thought, man, oh man, I want your yoke, Lord. Let me get rid of whatever I thought I was doing. Because it didn't help. Therefore, verse 16, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, he's the father. I didn't make that up. It's right in the Bible. He's the father of us all. But we need to see that. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Isn't that something? We were not the children of God, but he calls us the children of God now. We did not have the power of God before. We have the power of God now in salvation. Who against, verse 18, hope believeth in hope. Against hope. Another, what does that mean, against hope? I have no hope in myself. I'm believing against myself. Listen, if you've ever looked to yourself, I don't even need to ask this question. Have you ever failed God? You don't have to answer it. We all have. I promise you, I know why. Because it's the same reason I fail the Lord. It's where I'm looking. It's where I'm looking. And it's what I'm believing in. Lord, I'm going to try harder. Lord, I'm going to be more committed. Lord, I'm going to be more dedicated. Praise God. No. He said for me to keep my eyes on him and put my faith and my trust where? For his life in me. We're looking to the old stuff. We're looking to the dead stuff. There is nothing in your life or mine that God wants. One thing. He does want one thing from us, to acknowledge the death of ourselves and to deny ourselves. Oh, listen, you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Stop looking to yourself. Start denying yourself. And here's the news. Lord, show me how to deny myself. That's the truth. It is in my life. If you've got something else, let me know. But I'll tell you, God has revealed to me his truth, his word. And it's crystal clear right here. If we want to see the glory of God that he's promised and given to every believer in our lives, may we start saying, Lord, this is good news. Why would I want to try something I can't do? Why would I want to look to something I have seen fail time and time again? Listen, I don't want to live a life of failure for the Lord. I want to live a life of God's promise that he's given to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 19. And being not weak in faith or trust, he considered not his own body now dead. You see, what was God waiting for in Abraham and Sarah's life? For them to see that their life was what? Dead. There was no life in them. There was no life in them. It was when they saw there was no life. How did they? Listen, Abraham and Sarah were never laughing at what God was saying to them. Abraham and Sarah were laughing at themselves of what they knew about themselves. Here's what they knew about themselves. They couldn't do it. When will we know that? When will we stop? When will we stop and say, there's nothing but death in me? The only life that I have comes from God, or there is none. All right. So he says again, verse 19, and he being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead. Now he's alive, but his body is dead. He can't do that which God had promised. Listen, Abraham and Sarah's body cannot do what God promised. God promised a son through them. They could not do it. You think that might be the same about us? That what God wants from us, we can't do because we are dead. We can't produce the life of God in us. Don't answer this one. How many of you tried to produce the life of God in you because you love the Lord? I would dare say every believer. Every believer. And then God gives us the understanding, and it's an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, how about you drive? How about you take over? And I'll watch what you do in and through me. And I'll worship you every time I see it. We've got nothing to worship God for if we do it. But we have everything to thank God for if he does it. If you had to do a whole bunch of things for eternal life, would you have anything to praise God for when you got there? If God says, okay, you've got to jump through all these hoops. You've got to do all these things. You got to. If I went to the university and watched the valedictorian pick up their decree, give their speech, and I would come up to them and I would say to them, do you know God gave you all that? What do you think, if they were lost, what do you think they would say? What do you think they would think? Do you know what I did for this? Do you know how many sleepless, who do you want to thank for this degree that you've been given? Who do you want to thank for this degree that you've been given? Do you know who they would want to thank? Do you have any idea? You have a guess who they would want to thank? All their hard work. Wait a minute. Could you thank God for giving you the life and the brains to be able to achieve that? Oh, no. But bless God, they can't see that. We cannot see that. The natural man cannot see that. Amen. They can't see it. Did God know us before he created us? Boy, I would dare say he made a plan then, wouldn't you? Jeremiah, he knew Jeremiah before he was ever born, before he's ever conceived. God knew him. Did God know everything he wanted Jeremiah to do? Of course he did. Does God know everything he created you to do? The question is, do we know why God created us? That's the real question. And so he said, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. And notice this, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. I wonder if we're staggering on the promises of God through unbelief. God says, I've created you to be holy. I've created you to overcome. I've given you victory. I've given you life. I've called you to be pure from the things of this world. That's what he's called us to. But unbelief says, oh, I can't do that. And if that's where we stay, we will not receive what we think we're going to get. We'll have eternal life by the grace of God, but we will miss out on this side of eternity what God could have shown us and done through us and awed us and glorified himself in and through our lives. But I want to tell you, that natural man, I think he's a devil, that natural man. Because you know what? I've got to keep him in check. I've got to say, Lord, you've got to keep me from getting in front of you. Lord, you've got to help me know. You've got to enable me to know that it is you in me that's my hope at all. He staggers not, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. What's the other word for faith? Trust. So here's faith and grace. So he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Listen to this. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was, who's he? Not Abraham. Who's he? God. God was able also to perform it, or to perform. Who's he looking to? Abraham is looking to God. Question, did Abraham always look to God? Question, don't answer this one. Brother Tom, you're allowed to do that. We don't always look to God. We don't always look to God. We know that. You know, it's good to be honest before the Lord. You know, we get somewhere when we're honest with God. God says, okay, you're coming clean. I can work with you. You know what it means to come clean? Just give it all to God and say, Lord, I can't do any of it. I'm excited about the idea, God, about you doing it all. I'm excited about that. Aren't you glad eternal life wasn't up to you? We'd never make it. We'd never make it. And therefore, verse 22, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Put those two verses, 21 and 22, being fully persuaded in God that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Do you know that we'll get the righteousness of God that way? Who's going to perform it in your life? You or God? Who do you want to perform it? We need help with that. We really do. And by the way, you can't help me and I can't help you, but we can go to God who helps us all. Amen. And he will. Verse 23. Now, he says, it was not written for his sake alone, Abraham's, that it was imputed to him. Listen, but for who? Us also. Verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Now, he's talking to saved people. But God knows the hardness of our hearts. We are hard-headed. I'll say about myself, I am hard-headed. I just told my wife yesterday, I am so hard-headed. She goes, amen. You're not telling me anything I don't know. But the truth is, we're all hard-headed. Abraham and Sarah were hard-headed. But praise God, God can get to us. And so, he says, it wasn't written for Abraham only, verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. God, this is what God wants to do for believers. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He's not talking to lost people. In other words, God is trying to say, didn't God raise up his son from the dead? Did you see the power? Whose power was that raised up Jesus from the dead? Whose? Yours or God's? Why would we look anywhere else? Well, because God knows it's our stubborn nature. And God has put this in there for us today. That we will stop looking to the things that are dead and look to the life that's in Christ and God alone. Verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, semicolon, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Is he talking to saved people? He is. Well, if they're already saved, why do they need this? Because that's the way the life of Christ and the promises of God are fulfilled, and we don't get overthrown. We don't just escape the world. We're brought into the promise. We're not just wandering out in the wilderness. God brings us into his promised land. Amen. Into the promises. Last thought. All the components as one. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So putting all that together, remember, anytime you see therefore, you got to back up. That's what we did. We had to go back and see why therefore was therefore. Being justified by faith. That's trust in God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the vehicle, Jesus Christ. You got to get into Christ or you have no life. You got to get into Christ. By whom also we have access. Who? How do we have access? By Christ. By whom also we have access. And how do we have that? By faith, by trust, not works, by trust into this specific grace of God, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Okay, God, today it's all yours. You know what I can expect? You know where my hope is? God's going to do something I can't do to glorify his name in my life. Look at verse 2 again. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And, conjunction, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Oh, that's the work of God. I don't glory. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't like tribulation. But if God allows me to see that he's doing that for my good as a heavenly Father that loves me, I can rest and allow his work to take place. Sometimes tribulation can come on by somebody else. Tribulation. Do we react and yell at them, get angry at them? Listen, you could not say a word. You could put a smile on your face, and on the inside, you can't stand that person. That's not the Spirit of God. You look good for them, maybe, maybe. What do I mean by that? My wife will tell you, her face tells it all. She may not say a word, but it's all over her face. The truth is, it's probably all over all of our faces. I don't know if we can keep a straight face. I don't know. Anyway, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, verse 3, also, why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. God's involved. We just gave it over to the Lord. When that trouble comes, don't look at the trouble. Look at the Lord. And by the way, Lord, when the tribulation comes, keep my eyes on you. I'll tell you what I want to look at, and it's not the Lord. It's not God. My nature, but you're a preacher. My nature does not want to look at the Lord. My nature, man, oh man, looks right at the problem. And so when God helps me in a tribulation to see him, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, praise God that you showed me you in the midst of my tribulation. That should happen more often than not in the life of a believer. Here's how it happens. Every day we say, oh God, I need you. And understand what that means. What does that mean? That I might see you in my day and not my problems. Can you do that without Jesus? I can't. Why try? We know we can't. Why try? Listen. Don't answer this. Do you complain? You complain? Question. When you complain, are you seeing Jesus? You can answer that one. And when we complain, are we seeing Jesus? No, that's the truth. You know, we need to come clean with the Lord. We need to take all of our complaints, all of our bickering, all of the sourness that is naturally ours. You know, I can look good for a little while in front of people, but I want you to know, my nature is no different than yours. We kid ourselves. We ought to be kind and respectful and all that good stuff, and I'd rather me not show it to you and you not show it to me, but it's there without God. As a saved child of God, it is there. Don't answer this one. Have you ever been negative about another believer? If you come see me, let me know. I've never been. I'm just joking. Not really. I don't want you to come tell me that. Because then you'll be guilty of lying. No. Yeah, you would. All right, verse 4. And patience. So he says, we're only going to go to verse 5 and we're done very quickly. Ready? And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and it's continuing, and patience experience, that's we're seeing God, and experience hope, oh, God can do it again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because why? The love of God is shed abroad if we see Christ in the tribulation. Never if we don't see Christ in the tribulation. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? Oh, by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That's why it's given. That's why it's given. I mean, can it be any clearer? Don't feel bad. God had to show it to me too. There it is. Had to light it up for me. I can't tell you how many times I read the book of Romans. You know, plenty in 30 years. But I couldn't help myself until God opened up my eyes. Could Abraham and Sarah have helped themselves with how God was going to give them a child until God opened up their eyes? You know who God said was going to do it the whole time? God. Do you know who Abraham and Sarah thought at first would bring it to pass? Them. Do you know? Listen, when God saved us and God says, now I'm going to glorify myself, do you know how we think we're going to get that done? Us. Do you know how God intended the whole time before you were ever created? Do you know how God intended to glorify himself in your life and mine? Him. You know what would be a good thing this morning to say? Lord, I am wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. I've been looking to myself. And Lord, I see today more than ever before, I need you for everything. For everything, God. I don't know how to come in and go out. You know, God is wanting us to turn to Him. Is He not? God is wanting us to turn to Him. When and where, if not today and now? When and where, if not today and now? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning thanking you for your sight, Lord, for your light, and for your life that you've given to us. Lord, if there's anyone that does not have that assurance, Lord, may you allow them to see their need to trust you as Savior. But Lord, for those of us who have already made a profession, Lord, show us that we without you can do nothing. But with you, we can do everything you've called us to. Bless your word, bless your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.